herbal wellness products nature integrating is magic not just for witches and warlocks J, but it's also for brothers and sisters of the love of nature. From MJ recommended. Transcript. Hi brothers and sisters, lovely friends, my name is Devin Cohen, I'm the owner of the Small House Farm, Michigan, author of the books Saving Our Seeds, The Herbal Practice and Philosophy, The Artisan Herbalist, coming soon from New Society Publishers. Today we'll talk about making herbal tea tinctures, salves at home. We'll talk about the equipment that you're going to need, the basic procedures to craft all these herbal wellness products in the comfort of your own home or summer day garden with friends and family. So, first, we're going to start with herbal tea. Now, let's get started. A water infusion, the most popular form. A water infusion, I suppose, is the herbal tea. So, let's go ahead. Brew ourselves some tea right now. Now, the first thing we'll need is some herbs. So, I got a lovely herbal blend right here, but when you're just getting started practicing herbalism, learning how to make these types of things, I always recommend starting a single herb. Beginning with one single herb is going to give you the opportunity to learn about that herb, the flavor profile the herb aroma may have when you use it. So, get yourself a notebook, laptop, home computer, get yourself an herb. Sit down. Take a seat. Take the time to experience and explore this herb, everything that it has to offer. Now, I got an herbal blend that we're going to use here that we've created. So, let's go ahead to brew it up for an herbal tea. What we must do first is select what we're going using to brew. There's a wide variety of choices here. We've got some stainless steel tea balls. We've got these types of baskets that will nestle on the top of your teacup. We can use reusable tea bags, whatever it may be, whatever you have accessible to you, they are nice. We can use them over again. Herbal tea little ball. So, I'm going to choose our little ball now. For one single cup of tea, we're going wanting about a half tablespoon to a whole tablespoon of herb. Then our favorite teacup. Some hot water. Now, with the water infusion, what's happening here is the hot water is the menstruum that we're using to extract the chemical components from the plant material to create our information. Now, with a cup of tea that we're going to use as a beverage, we're just going to let it steep for about 3 to 5 minutes or so. You'll notice that it's ready because you'll be able to get the aroma, the flavor from them, from the herbs in your beverage. If you're looking for a more potent, more medicinal brew, you can take your herbs. Please put them in the refrigerator for 12 to 24 hours to give that water time to extract as many water-soluble chemicals from that plant material as possible. A technique that's a process known as a decoction going to work well with flowers, leaves, many of the aerial portions of our plants, but if we're dealing with something that's twigs, bark, thickly coated seeds, these denser parts of the plant, we're going wanting to use a process known as a decoction. All this simply means is taking the plant material, boiling it in water, will break down those cell walls, release the chemical constituents that we're trying to extract from this plant material. So, that's a water infusion. Now, we don't always have to use it as a tea either. Water infusion can be handy, a topical wash, or can be used in the making a compress. A herbal compress is simply taking an herbal infusion, then a bandage or a rag or something like that is soaking it with the tea, then using that topically on the skin. There are several applications for a compress, but we may get into that a little bit, but that is the basics. A water extraction herbal infusion, simple stuff. Now, got some delicious tea to enjoy for the rest of the video. Second thing we're going to talk about is known an alcohol tincture. Now, a tincture is like a water infusion, except instead of using hot water as we menstruum as our extraction material, we're going to use alcohol. While some chemical constituents in our plant are water soluble, almost every chemical component is. A plant is alcohol soluble. So, a tincture is a very potent herbal extract. Lovely. So let's walk through how simple it is to make one. Now, the first thing that we're going to need to make our tincture is, in this case, a container to do our extracting. I'm going to use this mason jar, but you can use whatever you have available at home. You can reuse a jar from your kitchen, whatever it may be. The second thing that we're going to need is our herb. In this case, we're going to use this lovely dried nettle leaf we harvested earlier in the year. I prefer to use dried herbs when I make my tinctures, but if only fresh is what you have available, you're going to want to let this sit around for a few days to kind of wilt a little bit, let some of that moisture out of the plant before you get to work with it. So, then simply what we're going to do here is take our herbs to pack them into the jar. Now, there's a couple of ways that we can measure our spice to alcohol ratio. Many times, you'll find what's called the folk technique is simply filling the jar up with the plant material you have, then adding your alcohol until it is, you know, about a finger or two's depth past the plant material, is just ensuring that your plant material is fully submerged. I always recommend keeping notes in your herbal notebook on the techniques you're using, the recipes you may be making. This way, you can refer to that later to reproduce these successful recipes. So, if we're going to do something like this, I think it's essential that we measure the herb's alcohol that we use in our tinctures. That way, we can perfectly reproduce it every time we make it. As we become more experienced as herbalists, we start to use herbs that are potentially toxic in larger doses. It's imperative that we keep accurate records of measurements of the medicine that we're making. So, if we're going to do, we're going to want to measure the weight of the herb ratio to the volume of the liquid, weight to volume. We use the folk method for this demonstration. So, lovely, we're going adding our menstrua more alcohol that we're going, being used to extract to submerge that plant material now, in this situation wholly, I'm using vodka. Right, you can use any alcohol extract that's going to work best for you. You'll find in so many old recipes mention brandy as the alcohol of choice. The reason that I like to use vodka though is because it has a minimal scent. Minimal flavor allows the herb itself to stand up in the recipe showcase itself. We're going to be using, this is a chopstick here. We're going to poke our plant material down. We're essentially just moving around helping release the air, getting the air bubbles out of there. As far as potency goes, you're going to want to use a 40 to 50% alcohol, which would be 80 to 100 proof. It's essential we use a strong enough alcohol. So, we get a good extraction. That's also going to ensure shelf stability in our final product. From 4 to 6 weeks now. So, now, at this point, we're going to want to cap our tincture off. Put it away. A calm, dark place. The proper extraction time here will be anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks now. You can let it go a little bit longer than that. It's shelf stable. So, more than 6 weeks will be okay, but it's not going to get any more potent at that point. So, 4 to 6 weeks is going to give us a lovely, potent extraction. Now, we're going, wanting to label our tincture when we put it into storage. So, we're going to want to put on it the herb's name, the alcohol that we use for the menstruum, the potency, the proof of the drink that we use, D, and the date. You can use today's date if you like, or the date when the tincture is going being ready. Either way that you choose is fine, but you want to make sure that you're consistent with that labeling to avoid any confusion in the future, also. But the same information in your notebook, that way, you've got it to refer you back to you on another date. I'm going, putting this away as I said. A calm dark place for about 4 to 6 weeks. Let's it extract once it's ready. We can take it out. We can filter. Bottle it. Let's go ahead. Do that I've got right here. Let's do this one. This is a beautiful extraction that we've been working. Where do you see this all right now? We're going, getting a jar, so we can filter this out. We're going, needing a numbscreen to filter this case. Lovely. I'm going, using this funnel that I've got. You can get one of these at a brew supply place. These are super handy. It's a funnel with a removable screen for filtering. It's easy to wash since that screen comes right out. Oh my gosh, look at that coloration right there, beautiful. Now, you can tell I didn't empty the entire jar. You would want to do that if you were doing this at home. You'd like to make sure you press that plant material to squeeze any little bit of tincture out of there that you can. You don't want to waste any of it. You can use any sort of process you wish to. You can use something. A potato masher, everybody's got one of those at home, or you can even get your hands on French press. A tincture press piece of equipment specifically for this, but you can use something. A French press like you'd use for making coffee, very remarkably similar. Significantly less expensive, just to squeeze this plant material out of there to make sure you get every drop of this potent medicinal. Once you have your container like this, you're probably going to want to package it into something a little smaller, a little easier to use. Sorry to recommend these bottles to the miniature house. We use these 2 ounce guys. This just seems to be the right size. A good amount of medicine comes with this dropper top now. The dropper top's essential. Remember how I mentioned how almost every chemical constituent in the plant is alcohol soluble? Is a very potent medicinal extract, whereas with our tea, we'll drink it by the cup with our tincture. The dose is measured by the drop, anywhere from 2 to a teaspoon, exceedingly small quantity, right? So this type of package is perfect for that sort of thing. Again, you're going to want to label your jars. Proper labeling. Proper labeling is key to successful herbalism, even if it's just simply herbalism at home. Now, let's move on to our third herbal extraction. In this situation, what we're going to use is fat. We're going to extract the fat-soluble chemicals from our plant material. What we're going to use is oil, so the process is like how we make our alcohol extraction tincture. Water infusion teas, right? So, we're going to start with our plant material. Olive oil. I think today we're going to make some calendula oil. Look at this beautiful stuff, huh? Beautiful golden color. Calendula biochemistic. So, the same technique now loads our jar up with herbs. Then add our oil now, just as we did with tincture going, filling our jar up to a certain level depending on how much space we have available to us. Then we're going to top it off with our oil again. About a finger or two just past the top of the plant material again. We are ensuring that we have that plant material wholly submerged under the oil. We're going to use the folk technique once again. But if you wanted to retake accurate measurements, it would be the volume of oil, a ratio to the weight of the herb. That way, we can reproduce the same oil time again. In the same way, in this case, we use olive oil. It's readily accessible to most folks. You can get it at the grocery shop, but almost any kind of plant oil is going to work. There's a few options. I'll give you a little bit of guidance based on my experience, since we're making products that will go onto our skin. Going on the skin of myself, my family and friends are important to me. To use quality ingredients through a small house, all the herbs we use are wildcrafted from our area are grown right in our garden. So, we've already developed that relationship, but the oil that we choose to use is just as important. If you're purchasing oil at the grocery shop, you want to ensure that you use an expeller press oil. It'll say expeller press specifically on the label, as means that the oil is extracted using pressure, essentially squeezing the seeds or nuts, pulling the oil out of them. Now, this is opposed to chemically extracted oils, which several are more refined, less expensive oils at the grocery shop maybe, are removed. A chemical called hexane is, you know, a couple of molecules away from being gasoline. Not necessarily something I would want to put on my body or the body of those that I love. It's also important to note that the oils that we use are derived from plants. Just as we choose the herbs that we use based on their properties, the plants that these oils come from also have properties that they can offer to our medicinal products. So choosing wisely what oils we use will enhance the quality of our products, ensure the highest satisfaction for us. We'll put the cap on this jar. Everyone that we're going to label it again, we're going to want to put the herb in here, the menstruum that you're using, the type of oil, this date. Now, again, we can either use today's date or the date 4 to 6 weeks from now. Our oils are going to want to extract for 4 to 6 weeks, remarkably like our tinctures. So, again, whatever style of labeling you use, whether it's today's date or the finished date, is consistent with your labeling. Now, we're going to pack this guy away on the shelf and let it sit to extract. Let's fast forward 4 to 6 weeks. Our oil is ready to go. So, we'll go ahead, pull it off the shelf. In this case, now, we're using a lovely jewel weed oils from jewel weed. We harvested put into the oil to extract on 8/13/2019. So, this stuff is more than ready to go. Just like our tincture, after 6 weeks, we can leave it in the jar if necessary if the plant material is submerged correctly. So, it's away from the air, it'll sit simply fine like this, but it's not going to get any more potent than it would at 6 weeks. So, we'll get our jar out, we'll open it up now, we've got to strain it off. So, for that, we're going to be needing a jar. Our strainer again, we're going to use this handy guy right here with the removable screen. Go ahead, pour our oil through the mesh. Just want to make sure that we remove any of the plant material. Alright, we'll call that coup now. If we're going all the way again, just like our tincture, we would want to use something to squeeze this plant material to get all that oil out of there. Any bit of oil we could rip dry. We're just going to let this guy sit over here. Alright, now, here is our nicely extracted jewel weed oil. Now, we could use it topically just like this, but sometimes it can get, it is a little bit messy. What if I needed to take it on the road? What if I was going camping or something? I'd like to make this a little bit more portable. So, at this point, we could take our infused oil, make several products with it with the incorporation of beeswax. We could turn the soil, a solidified product, a salve, a lotion or a bulb. To do that, we would need, of course, the beeswax, our oil, a double boiler of some sort. We'll talk about some of the options here in a second. Then, a final container for our salve lotion or ball. Now, any kind of the container is going, working, whatever you have available at home. Still, I always recommend using glass. Now, really, you just want to avoid soft plastics. The liquid that we're going to pour into here, this melted beeswax oil, is going to be quite warm. You do not want to pour that into a soft plastic, it's going to be quite dangerous. A pot of water on a hot plate, that's going, working simply fine. Into that, we're going, using this container right here, this is where we're going, melting our beeswax. Then blend it with our oil right now. If you don't have something like this, that's fine. You can use a metal bowl over the top of this boiling water. So, it's important to remember, though, that this bowl is going to get hot, right? So, you're going to want to use the oven mitt or some hot pads or something when you pick it up, just to make sure we can avoid any injury. We're going to go ahead, turn this guy up nice, warm, get it going. We're going, putting our oil into our container, add the beeswax that we've weighed out, set it into the water, alright. So, after, in a few minutes, we'll see that our beeswax has begun to melt. It is blending right into our oil. So, we just want to stir it up occasionally, keep it moving kind, and speed the process up. Once our beeswax is fully immersed in the oil, completely melted, we'll turn it off. Remove the heat is removed from our container. Remember again, if you're just using it, a metal bowl or something, makes sure, you're protecting your hands from the heat. Alright, love it. So, from this point on, everything that we're going to do will be warm. So, you want to be cautious at home to avoid any kind of injuries. Now, to make our product again, it comes down. Our ratio of wax to oil right now will be the wax by weight to the oil by volume. Based on the amount of beeswax that we use, it's going, being the final solidity of our product, the more wax we use, of course, the stiffer the product's going to be, less wax, a little bit softer. So, it's a matter of preference, but what we're going to start as a beginning ratio to get you going is ounces of beeswax by weight to every 16 ounces of oil by volume. You can move that ratio in any direction you need depending on the size of the product, the amount of fat you're working on. So, we're going, wanting to weigh our beeswax. measure our oil. We have the ratio going to work for wood we need, and we're going wanting to use our double boiler now. If you have a double boiler at home, that's perfect, but we can fabricate something with what we have available to us here. We're using, we're going to pour our oil into it, a good container. All right, as this cool, the beeswax will harden back up. It'll solidify our product. Remember, the ratio of wax to oil determines how stiff the final product is going to be. So, something. A savoury. Flowers and roots can make potent medicinal stinging nettles. Urta can do now. You'll see stinging nettles if you can look at it up close. The hairs on the plant at the end of each strand is a trichomus formic acid. Other histamines, chemicals in it that, that's where you get your severe effect from. Lip balm. Or, a lotion will require slightly different oil ratios to wax, but start with the balance that I gave. You see how that works for you. You can adjust it to your preferences from there. It's just that easy to make tea tinctures, salves at home. Now that we've covered the basics of crafting their products, we've got, with a little bit of time left, let's talk about some of my favorite plants to work with. Well, these herbs that we're talking about here are what I like to refer to as local allies. Allies as in, we have a synergistic relationship. We work together as a team. These herbs aren't just commodities to be bought. Sold, no, they're friends. We work together to create powerful medicine for ourselves, for families, brothers and sisters, for our communities. Herbs like dandelion, you know, from the French dandelion as in the tooth of the lion. Now, the entire dandelion plant is used, full to us the aerial portions, the leaves, stems. But nettles are a potent herbal medicine, great for arthritis, inflammation. The stock itself can be made into cordage to make ropes. Blackberry, now, the entire genus Rebus is full of medicinal benefits. Not only is the fruit high in anti-system, other antioxidants, but the leaves themselves can be made several healing teas. Jewelry, oh my gosh, look at this, I love jewelry. So, in patients, touch me not, from the dispersal mechanism of the seed right now, the juice, the sap inside of the stems of jewelweed is an excellent remedy for poison ivy. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. Our food is medicine. And red clover. I love red clover. Salads, it's got a nice sweet flavor to it. I also love to use it in tea. There's a lot of studies right now, a compound that they found in red clover that they believe helps fight cancer. So, that's an exciting development. They're watching closely right now. The red clover is just a delicious addition. Several herbal remedies. Plantain. I could talk all day about plantain now. This is the broadleaf plantain plant to go major. There's also the veneer leaf lanceolate. They can use interchangeably. Wonderfully beneficial now. This herb is probably the most well-known. You could take a plate of the plantain, chew it up, apply it right onto it. A bug bites, it'll stop with the itching, the swelling, the pain. Wonderful, wonderful herb. Witch hazel, oh my gosh, hand mail is virginians. We use, which has quite a bit of a small house. We create a topical astringent from the bark. I love the leaves of the plant. I love witch hazel because it flowers in the fall. The species that grow here where I'm at in Michigan flowers in the fall. These beautiful flowers, goldenrod, love it now. Most people want to say the goldenrod is part of their seasonal allergies in the fall, but that's not even close to true. The pollen from goldenrod is far too heavy to be spread. It's the ragweed that flowers sheds pollen around the same time that causes our allergies. A tea from goldenrod can help relieve these allergy symptoms. We don't have time to get into that debate right now, but it is important to note that the berries of autumn olive are edible, as are the leaves. We can be used to make a delicious tea. Queen ant, lace, wild carrot, all carrots that we've come to know, love, today, to have all been derived from this wild plant. You can tell the roots still smell like carrots. It can be used, just a carrot. The flowers, we can make delicious jelly. Elderberry, very extremely popular herb. Elderberry syrup, elderberry wine. I use the flowers from our old berries. We make a tincture from it. Terrific for boosting the immune system is antiviral and marvelous for cold, flu season. Chicory, which is all over the roadsides in the late summer right now, you can use chicory roots to roast them. Use it as a coffee substitute. White pine, that's the state tree here in Michigan, has five needles that come together. A cluster, that's how you identify the white pine. It's the only pinus where the collection of hands comes in. A set of five like that is highly high in vitamin C. The leaves are can use, D the needles. A tea. We can brew a tea from them in the wintertime. Precisely what we need it when we're battling cold, flu season, especially if we haven't prepared in advance. We don't have some herbs in the stock. We can still get to the white pine regardless of how deep the snow. Maybe Mullinore, my friend's son calls it a toilet paper plant, but not allowed to tell that story anymore. A mullein is a marvelous herb, great for respiratory issues. It's a biennial. So, the first year, you'll see this rosette. The second year, it'll put up its flower stalk with those beautiful yellow flowers you see on the roadsides. Yarrow Achillium, L-F-O-L-I-U-M, Yarrow Achillium, L-F-O-L-I-U-M. It's a styptic herb, which means it helps stop bleeding. So, you can take the leaves of yarrow. You can chew them upright on the spot. Apply them. A cut will stop bleeding almost on contact. It's antiseptic too. So, it's lovely on cuts, abrasions like that. The wintergreen, I could go all day talking about wintergreen. One of my favorite herbs to work with, wintergreen, has a compound on the leaves known as methyl salicylate, is like what they use D to make aspirin. So, we can use wintergreen well. We can ingest it as a tea or even use It topically for pain relief, Sorlox Alice Nice Sour Treat that you can find when you're weeding your garden's delicious addition to salad strawberries. The leaves of strawberries can be used. DN. A lovely tea to help with menstruation issues discomfort. Wrapping Stellar Chickweed Media, there's a beautiful early spring herb that we'll find growing in our garden makes an excellent topical treatment for itches, rash, and other skin conditions. Horsetail, high in silica, can use this to make medicine for our nails, as well as our hair. A nice wash for our hair to help brittle hair. Baldness Yellow Duck. Now, you'll find yellow duck growing quite often in the same places that you find stinging nettles, which is lovely because yellow duck leaf helps with the burn from stinging nettles. It's almost like Mother Nature has a plan the whole time. Yellow duck. I love violets. In the spring I love to use them as a tea. The flowers add a nice beautiful color to the brew. Sumac Staghorn Sumac. Here, the berries at the top can be used D to make a delicious lemonade-like beverage. Lamb's Quarters Quinopodium Alba. Delicious, incredibly high in vitamins, minerals, unlike wild spinach. That's how you could consider this one. Violets. Quite prolific, quite common everywhere that we go the wild grows. How about St. John's Wort now? St. John's Wort has an extensive list of users, so that we don't have time to get into it right now, but look at this beautiful plant, service berry avalanche. Here now, we should be using service berry, simply a landscaping shrub. It's just beautiful. It's native. It flowers early in the spring. Then later in the year, around June, it'll produce these delicious berry mustard. Now, all the basics we know have all derived. Wild mustard, the mustards grow wild in local fields along our roadsides, is edible as well. Brunel Vanilla Vulgaris. It's, as you can tell by its name, a marvel whose herb has prescribed to heal even since antiquity. Several ailments a heal if you will burden. This is like Mother Nature's original version of Velcro. Good blueberries bones set now, bones that are fun, although the name would imply that its use, D for healing bones, broken bones best use, Dawes. A cough suppressive medicine, it's a wonderful. You can make a syrup from it to help ease a heavy cough. Now, what's interesting about these herbs, however many herbs that we just spoke, the multitude of benefits available to us when we get to know these plants. All those plants are within a comfortable bike ride from my house, within a mile from where I live. It's essential as herbalists that lavender, we think local, buy local. We are locally. One of the most important things that lavender excellent for keeping the house and home creepy crawly is flies and pests away from the home if you plant it in front of the door. This plant loves a lime soil well drained, and it also provides a pleasant entrance for your grandmother and grandfather. We can do to make our little corner of the world a better place is to focus on being as local as we possibly can. Thank you so much to the Seed Savers Exchange for allowing me to share my herbal passions with you today. I enjoyed this time we got to spend together. If you liked this presentation, your man of vast knowledge Bevan Going, and I thoroughly enjoyed reading your information. I hope you don't mind me giving it my little own twist. Either way, I'm going to leave this connection to your book so everyone can read it. Take care and hope to meet up with you one day in the future. Nice one, brother. Best regards, MJ. If you're interested in learning more about herbs, I recommend this new book, The Artisan Herbalist, available now at theartisanherbalist.com. Thank you so much. You please share the link of your brothers and sisters and drop a message to Bevan. He will thoroughly enjoy that. Show him the link to this page and say hello. Please add your findings through digital file along with the photographs of your newly experienced birds. Colorful what you know and learn about many plants that you see, hear, smell, touching, taste. One person to search the globe for the right plant is impossible. Bottom billion brothers and sisters sharing the knowledge of nature and the animals that live upon the plants and around the plant is a wonderful experience to share. I do love this planet Earth, and I also love you. Thank you to listening and reading. God bless you. From MJ.